Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce 4 uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. Netflix drops LGBTQ tag on Jeffrey Dahmer series after viewers outrage. Okay, Jeffrey Dahmer was LGBTQ. Why the fuck would they remove this from the movie?
They'd own it.
Discuss.
You looking at me?
Are they
Come on.
They're retconning Jeffrey Dahmer? What do you got?
I mean, that's what happens with basically the progression of progressivism is you get to a certain point where no matter what you do or say is somehow, you know, there's no ground to stand on anymore.
The progression of progressivism.
Yeah, so once you progress enough, it's so progressed that there's no aggression to progress upon.
Yes. It's like when you go far to the right, you're on the far left. All the same.
Here's what I'm saying. What does the LGBTQ tag mean? Does it mean Skittles and rainbows?
Yes, apparently.
Or does it mean content relating to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer?
It's really offensive, I think, at all. Like, if two gay guys kiss, why do you have to put a G tag on there?
No, that's the plus.
What if two straight people kiss? Like, what do you have to put a S tex on there for sex?
Sexual.
Straight.
Yeah. For straight.
Yeah.
LGBTQIS. We need to put the S in that.
Cis.
Here's what I'm saying. What they're saying is you can never have a negative depiction of anyone LGBTQ.
Yep.
It doesn't count as LGBTQ because he's a bad guy.
Yep.
Like, what do you mean? Gay people can be bad people. You know, like they're normal people.
No, you change it. It's just instead of LGBTQ plus, it's LGBTQ minus. And
it's
going to be a negative portrayal.
What's the E? Evil.
Because they don't want people to think Jeffrey Dahmer and like it's a stigma or something. But what about movies like, say, They/Them, which is a horror movie that
it
has
is?
To do with the LGBTQ community.
It's called really? They/Them.
Wait, for real?
How do you not know about that?
I saw that. I was wondering.
With Kevin Bacon.
I saw that on demand, and I was like, I thought maybe that it was what I thought it was about, but I was like, nah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So is horror movie They/Them on Netflix?
They/Them.
The chilling tale of They/Them offers an entertaining horror experience like no other. Moviegoers, They/Them is an intriguing tale of terror. The haunting narrative follows a group of LGBTQIA people that are forced to attend a conversion camp where they must survive the relentless efforts of a mysterious killer. Is that it? That just like he wants to kill him? They/Them is an empowering tale of queer resilience and survival.
Oh, yeah, good for you.
Do you guys see that? There's two movies. There's one where this dude is like forcefully transgendered by a scientist.
Oh, yeah, it was Sigourney Weaver. I think she's the scientist.
Is that?
Yeah. I think it's a Michelle Rodriguez movie.
No. You're thinking of the other one I was going to say.
Oh.
This one is like the dude ran over the guy's daughter. So he kidnaps him and like forcefully sex changes him.
Yeah.
And then there's the Michelle Rodriguez one. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That one was they're both so bad, these movies. But I think they're on Netflix.
God, I'm going to have to watch. Are those movies that you're telling me
but,
about.
But I'm saying like,
now I have to go
is
watch
that,
it.
Is that going to be labeled transgender? The Michelle Rodriguez one is like, It's an effeminate hitman who gets like kidnapped and turned into Michelle Rodriguez, but like Michelle Rodriguez is actual woman. And then Michelle Rodriguez is like, I used to be a man. Now I'm a woman. I'm going to get revenge. And it's just like, okay, I guess. Like, that's your motivation. I prefer the guy's dog got killed and then he wants to kill everybody for it four movies in. But, yeah. You know. Yeah, but are they going to label that transgender, right?
I don't know. I know this whole Jeremy Dahmer being gay thing is new. I mean, I think I'd heard that he was back in the day. And
yeah,
that
I
was,
didn't know that.
Was part of it was his parents didn't like it or something, so he went crazy.
It's called The Assignment.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow. Fuck? Yikes.
What is this? The Assignment. So we'll start, known as Tomboy and formerly as Reassignment. What were they thinking with this movie?
Wow.
Look at the budget was under $3 million. It made $388,000. I don't understand.
Who directed it? Anybody of note?
Rogue plastic surgeon loses her medical license and then...
Dude, this movie sounds awesome.
I need to watch this movie now. It sounds great.
I have a list of 300 bad movies that I need to watch.
Well, wait. Look, scroll back up. Look who did the music.
Where?
Giorgio Moroder. Who's that? Amazing.
Is he talented? I don't know.
Oh, he's like...
You're the guru.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Saban Films?
Yeah, that, but, means, look, it's that means it's trash.
Look, I don't know, whatever. Maybe some people like the movie. My question is, are they going to label it LGBT on Netflix?
When did they start doing this? Yeah. I didn't know that they had to label movies gay. That's really weird.
It is weird. And I tweeted about this, and I said, if white men have to own school shooters, and women have to own Asada Shakur and Ava Braun or whatever, then they should own this too. There's bad people.
How about this?
Everywhere.
Nobody has to own anything, and you own up to what you actually do in your own life.
It's not. I'm here,
how about that?
I'm here at dvd.netflix.com, which is Netflix, and it says it's just a thriller and an action thriller.
Oh, weird.
Mm-hmm. But very low scores, though.
I mean,
so
that
hold
is...
on. Let me search for them.
3 out of 5.
Is the search for they/them on Metacritic.
Search Teletubbies. Slash. That's important.
Search Teletubbies.
They/them doesn't come up.
No, I think you have to type out slash because he's like it's a slasher.
Does Teletubbies come up?
They/them, no.
It's they/the word.
All right, let's try this. I'm going to try the L word. You guys know that show, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one's definitely LGBT. There you go. Look, LGBT. I click it.
But is it in a positive light?
Well, I clicked LGBT to see are there negative movies in any way about LGBT, and it looks like the answer is no.
Birdcage.
What the hell? Brokeback Mountain is LGBT? I thought that was just two cowboys.
Whoa. Yeah.
Hanging out.
They slash them as a 33% of critics' reviews on Rotten Tomatoes with an average of 4.8 out of 10. That's bad.
Can I ask a question, Tim? What other like kind of lifestyle choice? I don't know. Like, vegan. what other monikers are there for tags? You know, like,
oh, dude, let's make up a new one.
Like, what else are they tagging?
Let's make one. VVP. We need one more letter.
Vegan,
very very
pescatarian.
Vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian.
What's the other one?
And gluten
free, breatharian.
And I'm VVPPG.
Yeah.
Vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, or gluten free.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm looking
VVPG.
I'm looking at the list.
Or PGVV. Pescatarian, gluten free, vegan, or vegetarian.
GF.
Are you PVGG friendly?
Or what about the Jainists? You know, it's like this film may include violence against ants. You know.
Yeah. May step on grass.
Yeah. Something alive.
May step on grass. Grass was stepped on in the
Jainist film. Community is completely overlooked on this whole system.
Outraged.
Absolutely.
You know what movie I think is really funny? Have you guys ever seen Ginger Snaps?
Oh, no, I've heard of that.
It's like this chick becomes a werewolf or whatever. But it's funny because I imagine the guy who made it was like eating Girl Scout cookies. And he was like, he's looking at the box of Ginger Snaps. And he's like, that should be a movie. Ginger Snaps. What's it about? She's like a werewolf or something.
Half of these movies, like look at some of these movies, though.
Boy Kinsey, culture.
Kinsey's on there.
These are awful.
Small town gay bar.
Yeah,
eating
gay,
out
so 2.
Oh, sloppy seconds.
Oh, that one was actually that. You know, I didn't like eating out 1, but sloppy seconds.
I'm gonna tell you guys a quick story. I used to work freelance at MTV Networks.
Oh, here you go. Wait. It's a LGBT horror slasher. In the Blood.
Okay.
So I used to do quality control where I'd have to sit there and I'd have to watch their stuff, their video on demand stuff, to make sure that it was technically correct and everything. And under the MTV Network umbrella is Logo, which is like the gay channel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have to sit there and I have to watch their gay dramas. Mm-hmm. All of them they're so bad.
They're poorly done.
They're poorly done. And it's not like... it's so weird. Like, oh, well, we don't see, you know, we don't see ourselves, you know, in movies and whatever. It's like, no, there's tons of them and they're all terrible. You know, so like if you,
Moonlight's a great movie. Moonlight's good.
Is it though?
Yeah. Is it really?
I like Moonlight. I love Brokeback Mountain, not bad.
I love how they said that Moonlight was such an important movie, and like the black community is like, we're not watching this.
Moonlight.
Like, this
dude, I watched Brokeback Mountain with my hockey team.
I haven't seen it
in high school.
It was good.
I think I saw it. What's Moonlight?
It was empowering.
Oh yeah.
Is Moonlight something?
Moonlight is the Academy Award winner from a couple years ago.
So Tim watches like the worst movies ever, but he doesn't watch.
He'll watch the Academy Award winning film of the year.
That won the Academy Award.
Moonlight? Why the fuck would I watch Moonlight?
What's this about?
Nobody watched it.
Best Picture.
Okay. Nobody watched it.
It didn't make.
I like Moonlight.
I watched She-Hulk, and I regret every moment of watching it.
But you do it.
I thought Brokeback Mountain was good.
Never gonna get that back. I'm gonna have
Birdcage.
The thing about Birdcage was it was a good movie. It happened to have gay people in it, but you didn't have to tag it. It was never tagged in the '90s. And
it was a remake. It was a remake of a French movie.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it was so good. Robin Williams. It's got Hank Azaria, mm-hmm. and then you don't have to tell people it's gay to get them to go watch it because it's already badass.
Can you look up The Professional? That movie with it's like Natalie Portman's first movie. That's about a relationship between like a 55-year-old.
But they don't they don't actually, they aren't romantic technically.
What do they call it? Helophilia? Like if you're attracted to adolescents, what's it called?
Hepophilia.
Yeah. Hepophilia.
Does it say hepophilia there?
He's not attracted to her.
Oh, that's the remake, dude. It's L'Epophysia.
What?
No, this is the one with what's her face in it?
No, that's different.
No, that's the new one.
Right.
Luc Besson did the original. It's
yeah. Brilliant movie.
French.
It is a brilliant movie. But the subject matter, you're like, this is weird, dude.
It is weird.
It for American audiences. So the version you saw is missing pieces.
No, I've seen.
Yes, the original is a little more suggestive.
Well, they added like another 20 minutes to the director's cut. So yeah.
Yeah.
Is she young? Was she under 18 when she did it?
She's 14. 13.
Yeah. She's like prepubescent. It's
gross.
It's weird.
They got her.
But they're not making out or anything. It's like nothing. She loves him, and he's like pushing her back.
He's struggling. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
She was in Sesame Street.
Oh.
Natalie?
The fuck?
Oh.
You're cruising down the highway. Windows rolled down. Tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more, all for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds in stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arkseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
She's like 5 feet tall, you know, five foot tall.
Oh my God.
Garden State.
People, man.
Is that LGBTQ?
Good movie.
Garden State? No.
Mm-mm. No.
It's pretty good.
But they have to put a New Jersey tag so you know that you need to plug your nose before you watch it.
Yeah.
Revenge of the
Sith.
Required. Blockbusters.
Ugh. Uh-huh. Yikes.
What does that mean?
John Carter. That movie flopped miserably.
I like that movie, though. I like John like, Carter.
He's from Earth, so on Mars he's super strength because the gravity is weaker, so he can like jump really high or whatever.
Interesting.
I guess.
It was a major bomb, but it was a cool movie.
Willem Dafoe. I love it already.
Yes.
Did you guys see Netflix? People are going to cancel, like a quarter of their subscribers are about to cancel or something.
For what reason?
Just because they can't afford it. At least that's what they said.
The recession? Maybe. Yeah. I can see
I'm going to cancel because they put these stupid tags on there.
When did they do that?
What the fuck?
Seriously, I'm not even, I'm done. That's it.
When did you need a tag tagging?
To tell me what to watch? Yeah.
Look at this one. Here's a quote.
Tag.
I mean, I know it's technically true, but this is not the representation we're looking for. Well, go fuck yourself, dude.
Go find Wire Rush. No.
Quintron doesn't like the LGBTQ category.
Also, by the way, like, how are we supposed to know anything about the in and out?
Look at it says it right there. Look at LGBTQ.
What the fuck?
Like, dude, he did, man. He, like, some dude. Check this out. Some, I think it was Dahmer. There was a guy that he had like cut his brain out or whatever, and the guy escaped. And then the cops saw him, and he was like,
yes.
And then they brought him back to Dahmer, who then ate him.
Whoa.
Yep. Yeah, dude.
Those cops.
That's real. That's 100% real. But also, Jeffrey Dahmer isn't the only gay person in the
Gacy.
Movie. So,
it's true too. Yeah. Gacy's gay.
There's other gay people.
Gacy was
in
a pedo, though.
It's not LBT or Q. So it should just say gay, but then that they might be like, is that
GQ?
Like
this movie's gay? Are they being
offensive about it? It should say GQ.
GQ.
Yeah,
GQ
magazine, it means gay and queer.
Oh, wow. Checks out. Uh-huh. Yep, checks
That's
out.
That's really like offensive that they would expand their acronym along with the times.
Not Gentleman's Quarterly. Quarterly.
Quarterly.
Quarterly.
Yeah, GQ. Just, you know.
Yeah, I did not know
gay
that.
Gay queer.
Thank you for telling me.
I want a like, leprechaun tag for anything Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
Any potato. Irish films?
Potato.
Yeah, potato tag.
Yeah, works for Polish. Mm-hmm.
That's the road this is going down.
It's insane to me that it's like... an element of the film is that he's gay. It's a huge component. It's literally what he was doing. He was killing and eating gay people. And they're like, yeah, but don't let anyone know that gay is in it. Mm. Why not?
Well, it's their own fault for putting the dang tag in the first place and thinking, you know, like that people think we're woke if we do this and then we're good.
I figured it out. Let's remove the tag. But on any movie without gay people, we put not LGBTQ.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Problem solved. Mm-hmm.
But they have categories for, you know, Hispanic, for Black, for this and that, you know.
Yeah, potato.
Yes.
So,
is that what they call it?
So if you take away that tag, they're going to go, oh, well, they're just homophobic now, you know. So you have to have those tags, but just don't, you know, just don't put the movies in that they don't agree with.
I really got to talk about this.
What the fuck?
Oh, this is so good. I love this so much. It's my favorite thing on
Richie,
the internet.
What is this?
Whoa. Okay, well... when I originally saw it, I thought that photo on the left was like completely real. I didn't realize it had been doctored. But that also makes it funnier because like we're not just laughing, you know, it's doctored and now that's hilarious. So the fact that she's complaining about getting photoshopped.
Well, so here's the story. Chloe Grace Moretz said that. So here's this photo. You can see it. They photoshopped it to move her legs up. So she looks like this weird Peter Griffin thing with no torso. And then she said, everyone was making fun of my body. She says, meme with altered photo likening her to Family Guy character made her a recluse with anxiety. Okay, dude, holy shit.
She's like...
the photo was taken in 2016. It wasn't even like a recent thing.
Yeah.
But they just photoshopped it. It's like, bro, she's 25. Okay, she's 25 now. And they made a Photoshop of you?
Oh, no.
Holy shit, dude. You should not be in this profession.
It's like you became a public figure, and there's this thing called the internet. So go ahead and...
To be fair, she was like a child. She was a child actress, and she didn't know what
the... So then she has to take that up with her parents, probably.
No, for sure. But I mean, if she actually came out and said, I never wanted to live this way, and my parents misled me, I'd be like, wow, I feel
so
bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead, you're like, people on the internet
like the
made
internet
me look weird.
Is mean. It's like...
Like, bro, do you know how many pictures of me there are on the internet that look fucked up? I think they're funny. I saved some of them. There's one that's really good.
The hot air balloon one?
Yeah, the hot air balloon.
I fucking love that one.
My head is massive. The beanie is tiny. And then there's ropes hanging down from my head with a hot air balloon I'm standing in. And I was just like, who made that?
It's so delightful.
It's so good.
The best is when I see like somebody posts a photo and it actually has like your lower body in it. Like people just the most common comment is like, I've never seen Tim's feet before.
There's one where it's me with my eyes cockeyed and I'm drooling. And then my head goes up and then gets really small. It's a tiny brain with a little beanie on it. Yeah. I'm like, they're just good. Yeah. It's just funny. Like, I think it's funny.
You mean it didn't leave you dealing with anxiety?
I hide in my basement, cowering in the corner because people make fun of me, I guess.
Probably. Like, she doesn't have her outlet. Like, she doesn't have a show where she can be like, this is actually who I am. So yeah. She's stuck with the public's perception. If they warp her, then she doesn't have a way to be like, actually, guys.
I mean, but a lot of those
actors have that problem.
But, you know, I mean, even though it is a Photoshop, obviously, I mean, she still has nice legs in it, at least.
It's like, yeah, you know what you can do? Actually, she can do. She's rich enough. Just go buy a Faraday cage and just don't go on the internet anymore.
I'm going to say it again. I don't know if these websites are real. I think they're wrong. But with a net worth of estimated around $12 million.
Yeah, you can afford a Faraday
cage. I got to say, like, when I'm feeling bad and people are posting pictures about me and then I'm like, oh, I'm so miserable. I just pull out $100 bills. Yeah,
you just buy a Revolutionary War musket and then you're like, oh, I feel better now. Civil War, sorry.
No, like, I don't actually care that people are talking shit on the internet. I don't give a shit. And the real issue is security threats and things like that actually cost money. Chloe, look, I think Kick-Ass is a great movie. I think you did a great job, and you're a wonderful actress. Congratulations! I would recommend that you take those copious amounts of money that you have, the many dollars, and whenever you're feeling bad, just buy yourself a new car
or get corrective surgery so that you actually look like
the Photoshopped
image.
But why? It's like a Photoshop. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Daily Wire is doing this promo. Dude, Jeremy Boring is brilliant when it comes to this marketing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The contest is to promote Jeremy's razors. And they're like, whoever promotes the most and gets the most referrals will win Jeremy's McLaren F1 or whatever the car it is. And the top of it says, Jeremy bought a McLaren F1 and drove it one time and he doesn't want it anymore. You could win it, but it's just great marketing. But anyway, I bring that up. Just I'm thinking about this, like, when I'm thinking about how much money she has, Chloe is rich enough to have a hobby of buying new supercars. Like, she could go on the weekends and be like, I was feeling really shitty today, so I went out and decided to buy a McLaren F1. I got a couple Lotuses.
Wait, can I tell your audience the story of when I was talking about the car the other day?
And, which car?
Okay, so I'm like, I'm sitting in the kitchen. I'm like, I really want a 2015 Dodge Challenger Scat Pack stick shift. With a sunroof in red. And Tim's like, I got a blue one in the garage. And I'm like,
it's the blue one. It's exactly.
You do not. And I go in there. There's a 2015 Scat Pack stick shift. And I'm like, dude, what you don't drive fuck? Stick. You're like, yeah, I bought it as an investment. I'm like, are you kidding? Let me drive this thing. And so
peeled out.
I did drive it. And then I asked your kind cameraman not to have the camera on because I burned rubber in first, second, third, and fourth. I've never burned rubber in fourth.
What are you doing?
No, it wasn't that way. It was like tasteful. It wasn't like it was like just a little skirt to see when you can look.
Now I can never say the car.
Yeah, I fired your
No, but
it was a crystal Dodge Challenger that had never been played. And then Lizzo and Richie burned rubber in it.
They're desecrated the car, you monster. Yeah,
that car is
discontinuing?
Yeah.
You can get sure.
New tires.
And so what happened was we had to buy a vehicle for the business. We had to get and we ended up getting what did we get? We got what vehicle did we get? I can't remember. We were buying we need a car for picking up guests that can carry luggage and can Lexus. Seat like six. I don't think it was the Lexus.
BMW?
No, I think it was the Lexus. We needed something that we don't want to get like a, we actually were talking about getting a limo, a stretch, because they're actually comparable in
That'd
price.
Be pretty
they're not,
cool.
They're not as expensive
really
as people think.
In the city and stuff.
But no, I'm not talking about a big long one. I'm talking, you get like, you stretch it by like a foot. And then what happens is on the inside, when you're being transported, you have room for your luggage and then you can relax and turn the TV
that's
on.
Nice, yeah.
And it's the same price as a standard, like, you know, six-seater SUV or something. It's not that much more money. But anyway, we were there. And this 2015 Challenger was there, stick shift, Scat Pack, all that stuff. And I didn't know anything about it, but the sales guy, he's like walking through and said, normally these are the kind of cars we sell. And then my brother told me, he's like, that car is only going to go up in value because they're limited edition. And he was like,
it's worth twice as much now.
Probably.
I've been watching the prices because I'm looking for one. I mean, literally, that car, how many miles does that thing have on it? Like 30?
None.
Okay.
13, 12 maybe?
Okay.
The guy basically was like, if you bought this, put it in your garage and just put a blanket, like a cover over it.
Don't let anybody burn rubber on
it. But it's like in a couple of years, it's worth more money.
Yeah.
And so my issue is like, people need to understand this too about net worth and money. When I was younger, I was like, why would a rich person buy this big mansion? It's pointless. Like Shane Smith of Vice, he bought a $24 million mansion in Santa Monica. I'm like, why would you do that? You don't need it. Why do you want to live in? How do you? People need to understand this. These big mansions, you have to maintain them.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
I'll tell you guys, I'll let everybody in on a big secret. It's just private information, but the building we're in originally was a small house that burned down. This is what we were told. The Cass Castle was originally this tiny little house. It burned down, and the insurance payment was big enough that they were able to make this bigger house, like five times the square footage. The building's like 10,000 square feet livable. It's huge. We got it because we knew we were going to be turning studios, offices, and working business out of it, plus like a skate area and the green room. We needed a big bar thing. That's what we have in the basement. But for the people who did it, they were just a regular middle-class family. They were probably thinking, and I don't know for sure, but they were probably thinking, hey, we got this big insurance payout. If we build a bigger house, it'll be worth actually more. So if we spend $600,000 on construction, we can sell it for $1 million or something like that. What they didn't realize is that houses this big require staff. Because when you have a family of three kids, okay, so you have four rooms being used. The mom and the dad share a room, and the kids each have their own room. And there's eight bedrooms and eight bathrooms. So what ends up happening is a pipe bursts and no one notices for a week, and now you've got serious water damage. So you need the house to be filled, or you need a staff member to be walking around doing checks. We get a leak in like an area of the house we don't use as often. It's a disaster. So we have to have someone who goes to the house every day and just makes sure, because it's so big. But with more employees in it, using all the space, whenever a problem happens, we notice it right away. So they sold. They were like, we made a mistake. It's too big. That's what people don't get. But here's what I realized. The reason why people buy this stuff is because you cannot just have US dollars the way the US economy is set up with quantitative easing, with the Federal Reserve. If you just say, okay, I got $100,000, I'll put it in the bank and save it. Congratulations. In 5 years, it's worth half as much. So you got to buy a Challenger. And you put it in the garage. You don't use it. You don't buy it because you want to drive it. You buy it because the value just keeps going up and you're retaining your... it's not an investment so much as it's a hedge.
So now I have to buy two Challengers so that I can have one that's an investment and the other one for burning rubber.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we'll sign a contract to bring you onto the company as a sign-on bonus. We'll,
okay.
You're the driver.
Okay, now we're talking.
Rubber burn.
Okay.
That shit's going to be
speaking my language.
That specific car will be worth more when people know you drove it.
Like Lizzo's flute.
Yeah.
That's true. Actually, we're making a car. We're making the first ever Timcast EV. It's going to be the first. We're talking with this local fabricator and manufacturer who can fully design and develop. It's going to be expensive. I think it'll cost us maybe like $100K, maybe $200K to make a legit like leather interior, really nice custom operating system, probably use Linux. Not going to have all the bells and whistles of Tesla or anything like that. But we're going to make one. And then we're going to do a commercial where it's going to be like, we're trying to figure out what's the right shell. You know, so we have a Chevy Cobalt 2006 with 230,000 miles on it. We're going to give that away in a contest. So we're going to do like a win a free car contest. And then it turns out you're winning this junker scrap car. But we're trying to figure out what shell we should use for the EV. My brother was like, we should do a VW van, but people have done shitloads of those. And they're really expensive to buy because people do want electric VW vans. So we got to find a good car, like a Gremlin or something, that we can turn into a luxury electric vehicle. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S.? With more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., they have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality.
The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Tim. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/TIM.
You know, I like the idea of
there's some good, I mean, there's some really cool, like, old defunct cars from the 50s and stuff, you know, like Nash or something like that. Some kind of car that hasn't existed in 30, 40 years, you know.
So we're going to make
it. Get a Citroën or, like, all these cars.
Yeah.
Like, the old ones, though. Back from, like, when you saw a car and you're like, a German made that, or you saw a Citroën and you're like, that's so French. Like, that looks like a French person made that. You know what I'm saying? Like, just look at an old Citroen from like 1960 and then look at a BMW from the same era and you can see the cultures in the design.
Steel but body? We're going to get the interiors custom.
Or, yeah. Are you looking for the body to be steel, fiberglass? Do you have a preference? I don't
care. Whatever.
Those old ones, are they all steel?
I don't know. Yeah, they're probably pretty dang heavy. Or a Beetle. So an old Beetle, that's probably pretty light.
But what's the hook to give it away? Like, are you going to be selling razors? Like,
give it away? No, we're going to do a commercial for it and sell it. And it's going to be...
Oh, you're going to sell it.
And we're going to do custom hard print, like, signatures in it. And it'll be the only TimCast electric car in existence.
Okay. I thought you were going to do, like, you were going to sell a product and say, hey, you know, buy this product. And then if you do, then we'll give away the car.
I was thinking we would sell it. And then just, it would be like, I don't expect to make a shitload of money off it, but it would be like a unique promotional thing where only one of these cars are in existence.
Okay.
The giveaway would be the beater, the 250,000 mile beater.
Right.
That was the one from
earlier. So I think what we should do is a contest for members where it's like, someone had the idea that every month we should do something like we either give $1,000 or we give something away. And I'm like, that's actually a good idea because it's promotional. It gets people to sign up to become members. And we should look into the legalities because we could do cool stuff. We could do like... Hey, you know, on the last day of the month, we're going to announce a random a member chosen at random through a random number generator because every member internally that there's like a number associated with them, and then we'll say this month we're giving away
a signed guitar
to a member. So that's probably a great way to get people to sign up to become.
That
members.
Sounds like a great incentive, actually.
That'd be badass.
We could do three giveaway, like three things. We could do first, second, and third. We could say the first choice will get this guitar. It's valued at X. Second place will get $1,000. Third place will get $500.
Yeah.
So to come full circle, you're basically doing that scene in Garden State where Natalie Portman, like, goes like, blah, 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 boo. And she's like, nobody in the universe has ever done that before. That was completely original. Like, you're doing that with a car.
Yeah, I actually did that before she did that in that movie.
Oh, damn. Yeah, see? Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was younger, like, I was complaining about how everything was always just routine. And so I would, like, make up gibberish words as a point. And so, like, hanging out with my friends, I gave them all random gibberish names. And then I was like, what? I was
see,
like,
this makes a lot of sense now. Now you've grown up and you're making a gibberish car. That's great.
Yeah, I told one chick her name. I was like, from now on, you're Octolapina Pufferscope. And I was like, I'm just going to say something random that's not been said because I'm tired of everything. It's so fucking boring. And then, you know, my other friend thought it was hilarious. And he started doing it.
26 too. Letters is not that many. We need more.
For what?
Arabic
sound?
Has 29.
For the alphabet. Oh, what's that?
Arabic has 29.
That's dang. Too many. Pull it back.
T, ta, dit, da, sit, saw, the, da. Like, so it's depends.
I mean,
on
honestly, it would make it easier to understand these ridiculous English words.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, English.
Double U, like, was U not enough? They needed a double U? Well,
and it's a
on.
V anyway.
Fuck, yeah.
I think the saying goes that English is a tough language, but it can be mastered through thorough thought, though.
Hmm.
Yeah. English sucks.
Thorough thought, though.
It can't,
Through thorough thought, though.
Yeah.
You want to hear the funniest sentence ever? Buffalo, 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 buffalo.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a longer sense. Version of that, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Though what that really means is...
You lost me at buffalo.
Yeah.
So here's what I said.
And you know Arabic.
The buffalo animal from Buffalo, New York is bullying another buffalo from Buffalo, New York. That's what the sentence means.
Buffalo is to bully?
Yeah, it's a verb. So if you said Buffalo, Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo. I didn't know Buffalo.
It would be like saying Chicago.
My mom's from Buffalo, so I should
Chicago,
know.
Chicago Masons punched, you know, New York plumbers. But if, you know, so Buffalo.
Yeah, wow.
Buffalo.
Just to clarify, you are fluent in Arabic?
Bakyada bi kwais.
Badass.
I mean, it was, I'm not, Arabic is weird because A, the spoken language varies so much across region. So like Moroccan Arabic. Like a Saudi and a Moroccan would be better off speaking English to each other if they both spoke English decently well, because it's just like, it's way different. And so you learn Fusha, which is like basically modern standard written Arabic. And then you go to learn it. And so I studied that for 2.5 years, 5 days a week for 3 years. And then I went to Jordan, and the people, if you speak that standard Arabic, laugh at you, like in your face. So you have to learn then the spoken version. It'd be like learning Shakespearean English and then going up like Harlem or like Alabama and being like, where to should I get, you know, and then they just laugh at you. So you, it's my Jordanian colloquial, I can have, yeah, I can carry a conversation with a Jordanian, no problem, or a Palestinian.
But not Egypt. Problem.
Shoe?
No, okay, does it work in Egypt?
Oh, I said what in colloquial Jordanian? No, so Egyptian, their accent's weird. Like they pronounce all their j-g. So if I were to say like, University of Georgetown, Jamia Georgetown, they'd say Gamia Gurtown. It's like really weird. So when you hear it, you, unless you're comfortable listening to it and speaking it, but Egyptian is, all their news is in that dialect. So actually with Egyptian, it's easy for me to understand it, but I can never communicate.
What about Morocco?
Morocco is completely impossible. It's like French, Spanish, Arabic, right, all combined.
Right.
And if I hear a Moroccan speaking Arabic, I have to ask him like, you know, a million different times to repeat the word. And so, it's all pronounced differently.
But you could understand an Egyptian.
Yeah.
So how far west can you get before it starts breaking down and becomes harder to understand?
Like, basically, Egypt. Because, like, once you get to Libya, Tunisia, there's a lot of mixing, French influence, right, and it starts to get weird. Yeah.
In Chile, they would say their S is like th. So, like, in Chile, esta, como esta, I think it was because...
They did it in Catalonia.
Is that because one of the leaders had a lisp?
That's the legend.
Yeah.
The Catalan king had a lisp, so everyone wanted to sound like him because it was, like, proper. So they said lisp, cerveza. In South America, in Uruguay, for instance, or Uruguay, as they pronounce it, Uruguay, they say sha instead of ya. So
yeah.
I had a friend who spoke Spanish, but it was Uruguayan. And so when she was teaching me Spanish, it was improper dialect for Mexican Spanish.
Como te chamas?
So she would say ayúdame instead of ayúdame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that how it is in Arabic too? Because the old leaders?
Yeah, see, but and then with Arabic, it's like five different letters that get pronounced differently. So
I was
makes it super weird.
I was doing nonprofit fundraising. And when you're out in the street in Chicago and you're like waving to people, you say like, you know, hey, would you, you know, like donate or whatever, you talk to people. And then every so often you bump into someone who speaks Spanish, say, oh, no English, you habla español, no. And so then my friend was like, just say, ayuden a los niños desamparados. And then I was like, you got it. And then I remember one day there was like this little Mexican woman walking down, and I was like, hello, you want to talk to me? And she's like, no English. And I was like, mi amiga, ayuden a los niños desamparados. And she went, oh. Los niños? And I was like, sí, los niños. Desamparados. And she went, oh, no. And she went to her purse and then she handed me $5.
Yep.
There you go. What was the no? Desamparados? What is that?
Help the children. Help the children who have nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
Something like that. I'm not fluent.
Wait, what was the last word?
Desamparados or something?
Oh, means without.
Oh, okay.
Desamparados? I don't know.
So she handed you $5, but you were...
Were you doing anything
that was like the subscription thing? Yeah.
So it was like completely ineffective, but I was just like, okay.
Did you take the $5?
Well, we were allowed to take cash as well. And what happens is when you sign someone up.
Unemployed. There you go.
Is that what it means, unemployed?
Help the children that are unemployed.
Parados means unemployed.
Oh, okay. So without employment.
That's what it says here.
But when at this company, when someone signs up, you multiply that by 7. So if someone says, I'll give you $10 per month, it counts as $70 brought in for the day. So if they give you $5, it's $5.
And how much would you make from that?
35%.
Yeah, it was like a commission.
So, I made fucking insane cash.
Yeah.
Because here's what would happen. I would come back with $300 in monthly contributions. They would multiply it by 7. That's $2,100. And then I would get 35%. So they'd tack on $650 to my paycheck for one day's work.
Wow.
And I'm like, but I didn't bring in. They only, and they said the average contribution is $17. This was back in 2008. And the average person gives for 7 months. So we multiply all contributions, monthly contributions by seven. If you choose to take a one-time contribution, by all means, if you can convince someone to give you $300 on this, on, you know, right now, we would rather have someone give us, you know, $25 a month because you're more likely to get them for a long time.
So we're wondering why the economy collapsed in 2008. It was because Tim was, you know, basically all these people I just got roped into the, where'd my money go?
I was,
it's like a Netflix. Tim's like, you forget about it.
The cast castle.
This was a job where people struggled to make minimum wage and were fired all the time because they couldn't make quota. Me and my friends, they were like, you have to go out for 8 hours. You get a location to go to. Then at the end of the day, you come back. You know, we would do, me and my two other friends, we'd go out. We'd go meet back. We'd be at like State and State and Lake or something in Chicago. And we'd get off the train and then we'd be like, all right, we'll meet back here in 15. Like, all right, we would split up and then 15 minutes later, come back and be like, okay, I got 3 signups. Like, yeah, I got 4. It's like, I got 2, but it's good enough for the day. And then we would go home and play video games. And then at 5 o'clock, get on the train, go back to work and be like, we were able to sign up 3 people. Yeah, 2 people. And they were like, that's really good. Because you needed to get an equivalent of $17 in monthly subscriptions per day for quota. And we would just like, in 10 minutes, I'd get someone to get sign up for $25.
What time of day would you go out?
9 a.m.
Before work, when they were going into work in the loop?
Yeah. So you're there all day. Dang. So during lunch. And so we would go on top of the Marina City Towers. You know the Marina City Towers?
No. Where's that?
Those are those big cylindrical right off the river. And they're like.
Oh, the ones on the Wilco album cover.
Yeah. So what we would do is hang out at the bottom first floor where the elevator was. And we would just like stand there talking. And then as soon as someone walked out, we then walk in the building, take the elevator up to the roof and just chill on the roof and just shoot the shit. And just, this is like iPhones weren't around and we do nothing.
Back in the glory days.
And then it's funny because like one day, you know, my one friend would be like, he's like, man, nah, I need to make money because I want to buy, you know, like a PlayStation or something. So then we'd be like, okay. So then he would actually do the full 8 hours and he'd come back with like $1,500 in monthly signups. And then like, he's going to get hundreds of dollars off of that just for that one day's work. And he's like, yeah, I got enough for the PlayStation. I'm good. So as long as it was like rent was paid.
So are they hiring?
Always. They're always hiring. The thing is,
and
like,
they're the worst people on the planet. They're
awful. And that's, yeah. And that's why I quit, because when I found out that they were lying and the information they were giving us was bad, I was like, bro, I thought I was doing, I thought I was good at something good.
I mean, weren't they encouraging you to lie to people when you,
after I found out they were publishing lies? And I said, hey, I can't say this is not true. They were like, just say it anyway. And I was like, okay, like I thought I came here to be good at something that was doing good. And then I found out that it was just complete bullshit. And it was, in my opinion, it's all a racket.
And once you find out, like, because you were getting a 35% commission, imagine what they were getting. Like, imagine $100 comes in.
I know the
salaries. It's only like $5 that actually goes to the charity.
It's clever. No, check it out.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, no. All of it went to the charity.
Was it the Clinton Foundation? Were you working for the Clinton Foundation?
No, well, it's like $5 actually helps people. It's all like administrative.
No. What the nonprofits do is called outreach. So 100%, they say 95% of all money that comes in goes towards the cause. Yeah. And people go, wow.
And the CEO is like, I'm the cause. Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. It was a 501c4, not a 501c3. So it was a political organization. And they said, if anyone asks, our official rating is 90% charitable, 10% administrative, which is a really, really good number.
Yeah.
And so we would tell people, like, you give me $10, we have to put $1 towards administrative. And if people get mad about that, explain to them, like, we got to buy paper, don't we?
Yeah.
We got to pay for the electric bill. And they go, oh, okay. The 90% was me.
Yeah, caviar is not administrative.
You, as the person on the ground telling people that there were political crises, was the charity. Get it? The argument was,
oh, I get it.
When you raise money from someone, that money is to pay you to keep raising money for people.
Yeah, I get it. But
it's because...
Seems like a pun.
Telling,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
it does.
But the idea was telling people on the street. This is what they said to us. Because I asked them, I was like, what's the charitable? And they said, it's you guys. And I was like, we're the nonprofit. They're like, yes. Don't you get it? Every day you go out, you're informing people who otherwise didn't know that there was an environmental crisis. And I was like, okay, but it sounds like we're fundraising. They're like, you're informing people, right? And I was like, yes. And they're like, you deserve to be paid for informing people, right? I was like, yes. And they're like, well, there you go.
Dude, that is the Clinton Foundation. It's like, what are you doing? Oh, just give us this money and we're going to help all these struggling countries. And you're like, okay, so you got all the money and now what's happening? It's like, you are it. You're a struggling country now. Like, we got all the money. Like,
me telling you the problem was the advocacy. But so what happened was there was internal politics that made me not want to work there. And then when I came back to a different branch in a different state, they had us lie about Deepwater Horizon. And what happened was I was out talking to some guy in California and I said, this just happened. The Deepwater Horizon spill, this is serious. And so we're trying to generate advocacy, make sure people know it's happening. And then the guy looks at it and he goes, this is not true. And I was like, what's not true? It's like the amount of gallons that you're saying spilled, it's substantial. It's like a tenth of that. And then I was like, oh, my bad. I didn't realize. I said, are you out here fucking lying to me to make money? And then I was like, dude, I just work for a nonprofit. This is the stuff they give us. And he's like, maybe you should do some fucking research before you go tell people to give you money for a cause that's fake.
Fair criticism.
And then I was like, fair point, dude. Yep. And I took it out of the binder and I folded it up and I was like, I won't bring that up again. And he was like, you shouldn't. And he walks away. I immediately called the office and I was like, hey, this is, I can't remember, this was 2010 or whatever, phone internet. And I was like, no shit. Like, check web browser, like the number's wrong. And then they were like, don't worry about it. Just finish out the day and then we'll figure it out. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to lie to people for money. That's fraud. And they were like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Just keep going. And I was like, no. And if you want me to read this, I'm going to come back with no signups. And they were like, you have to make quota.
Then they hired Don Lemon and Joe Scarborough to take your place.
We were outside.
Because they were willing to do it.
I was outside the CNN building.
Yep.
I was literally across the street from CNN. In, it's right by Amoeba Music in Los Angeles. You guys know where that is?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was that in Sunset?
Sunset, yeah. Yep. Sunset and Vine?
I was right across the street. There's a cafe. Kitty Corner.
I love that area. That's where Theater of Note is.
All right, we've gone a little long, so we're going to wrap it up there. Richie, it's been a blast.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to burning the rubber sometime in the near future.
That's right. And for everybody who's a member, thanks for supporting our work, making it possible. We got more awesome stuff to be built with your support, and we'll see you all next time.